Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. I'll be reading verses 1 to 10. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the word of God.
Morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Aikwan, for reading this morning's scripture for us. Yeah, there was a last-minute change, huh? That's why she asked me. Okay, as I was busy preparing for today's sermon, I received a helpful message from Reverend Srimal. Okay, he said this, "Bro, please remind the congregation that we are taking a break from the book of Jeremiah." Okay, la, not the exact words, so I change it a little bit. Okay, but instead I'll be starting a series on the topic of being lambs for Christ. This is real. Okay, this series will be spread across the whole year of 2018. Now, I was very relieved because it took pressure off me. I don't have to cover every aspect of the acronym LAMPS for Christ. L-A-M-P-S. That's quite a lot. Phew. But I had a hard time trying to connect Matthew 28 with being lambs for Christ. So before I begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Let our hearts be good soil, ready to receive your word. Let your word take root and bear fruit in our lives. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Wow, time flies. We are now into the second Sunday of 2018. Now, in the last week, the final week of 2017, I received a picture from my JC classmate through WhatsApp. It's about making New Year resolutions. For those who haven't seen this, let me read it for you as the font gets smaller over the years. I hear people laughing. I think they probably got something similar. Okay, it goes this way. My goal for 2018, that's very big, is to accomplish the goals of 2017, a little smaller, which I should have done in 2016, because I promised them in 2015 and planned them in 2014. Another classmate replied mischievously to the chat group, "That's what people really mean when they talk about a 5-year strategic plan." Okay, but seriously, the headline of an article in last week's Sunday Times caught my attention. It reads this: "How to be more human in 2018? Try less. Less expressing, more listening. Less doing, more being. And less making, more watching." Now, the author of this article, her name is Eve Fairbanks, suggests that being human is not just about being creative. It's not just about being able to do or to accomplish something. For example, like being able to solve a math problem, being able to play the violin, to do the crow pose in yoga, I don't know what that means, or to earn even $80,000 in a year. In fact, animals and insects can also be creative and scheming, not just human beings. Just look at the intricate webs that are spun by spiders. Isn't it amazing? Or the collaborative effort by monkeys. One monkey will pretend to act cute to distract a person while the other steals a mobile phone or bananas from him. Now, instead of being human, what differentiates us from animals is the ability to appreciate. Appreciate doesn't mean give thanks. Of course, appreciate can mean that too. But the author means things like appreciating wine, admiring the beautiful sunset, or being sensitive to the needs of others. It means being able to listen, to watch, being more than doing. Now later we will see how this is relevant to the topic for today. Coming back to Matthew, now Matthew 28 can be divided into three sections, or I call them commissions. Verses 1 to 10 is the first commission, the commission to the women. Now the women were appointed to tell the disciples about Jesus' resurrection and rendezvous, which means meeting, with the disciples in Galilee. Next, verses 11 to 15 talk about the second commission, the commission to the guards. The guards were bribed by the Jewish leaders to lie about the disciples stealing Jesus' body while they were sleeping in the night. Finally, verses 16 to 20 is the third commission, the commission to the disciples, or what is more popularly known as the Great Commission. Now for this morning, we will focus our attention on the commission to the women, verses 1 to 10. You may want to keep your Bibles, if you still carry a hard copy, I'm the traditional timer, opened to the passage as I will be referring to it quite often this morning. Now, there are a few words that are repeated frequently in this passage. They include words such as see, fear, or to tell. Paying attention to repeated words, as good Bible study leaders will tell us, can often help us discover the emphasis or the key themes of a passage. Now, let us first begin with the word see. S-E-E. It can be found in verses 1, 6, 7, and 10. I think it should be up on the slide. Now, the idea of sight can also be found in the word appearance in verse 3, and in Jesus meeting the women in verse 9. This tells us that seeing is an important idea in this passage. Now let us see how the notion of sight changes as the story moves along. Now seeing first appears right at the beginning in verse 1 when the women went to look at Jesus' burial place. But what did they see? Verses 2 and 3 tell us that they saw an angel with an appearance like lightning and clothing white as snow. I don't think I know how to depict it. It must have been quite a frightening sight because the guards shook with fear and became like dead men, while Jesus, on the other hand, was alive. Note that the angel rolled the stone away not for Jesus to come out. Why? because nothing can hinder the movement of the resurrected Christ. John chapter 20 tells us that not walls can stop him from going into a room with locked doors, neither space, because he could appear and disappear wherever he wanted. And that can be found in Luke chapter 24. Now the angel rolled the stone away, not for Jesus to come out, but for the women to go into the tomb and see that Jesus was no longer there. Now, but seeing Jesus' body not in the tomb wasn't enough for the women, because they could be thinking, who stole Jesus' body in the night? The angel had to tell them that Jesus had risen from the dead, as Jesus had told them while he was still alive. Finally, the women never in their wildest dreams imagined seeing and hearing the risen Jesus. As they made their way to tell the disciples that they too will see Jesus at Galilee. Verses 9 to 10. Now a group of women were on their way to see Jesus' tomb. They were expecting to grieve over Jesus. Instead of a dead Jesus, they saw and heard an angel. Instead of a lifeless corpse, they saw and heard the risen Christ. And Jesus himself went ahead of the disciples to Galilee so that they too can see and hear him there. I think you should have known by now, not only seeing, but hearing is something important in this passage. But why are these two things so important? Now for the women, it's quite obvious, because without seeing or hearing, there was nothing for them to tell the disciples. But how about us? Why is seeing and hearing important for us in being lamps for Christ as we reach out to others? Now it is important because God is already at work in the lives of others. God initiates salvation. We do not take the initiative. Rather, he has always been reaching out to the lost, like the shepherd looking for the lost sheep. Our outreach begins with us being on the lookout for God's activity, for his activity in us, in our lives, and in the lives of those around us. Now, it is not a coincidence that Lamps for Christ starts with the word lookout. In Matthew 28, the women saw and heard the risen Christ. Similarly, our outreach begins with us being on the lookout for signs of God in a person's life, to be on the lookout for what God is doing in the lives of our friends, of our family members, and of our colleagues. This brings me back to the article by Eve Fairbanks. Less expressing, more listening. Less doing, more being. Less making, more watching. Now that's a good summary of what lookout is all about. To be sensitive to God, to see and to listen, to discern what God is doing in the lives of others so that we too can join him in his work. But this is so difficult in the hustle and bustle of life in Singapore. Our schedules are jam-packed with appointments and activities. We are always on the go, rushing from one appointment to another, from one project to another. After a meeting with the boss, there's a call to attend to. There's your daughter's orientation concert you need to be at. There's Facebook posts, Instagram photos, tweets, and WhatsApp messages to read and to respond to. Precisely because of the challenge of our fast-paced lives, we need the A to go together with the L. By A, I mean the second alphabet of the word lamps. To ask God to pray. As we pray, we take time out. We begin to slow down. Now praying is communion with God. Being with God, staying with Him. And as we pray, God opens our eyes. He opens our ears, our hearts, that we can be sensitive to Him, to His presence and His work in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Now, even as I share about asking God, I am deeply aware of how God has spoken to me in prayer. Now, in preparing for today's sermon, I meditated on the passage. I read the Greek text. I consulted commentaries. But I struggled trying to connect Matthew 28 with today's topic, being lamps for Christ. But each time I pray, I sense God at work. He directs my thoughts. He inspires me. He organizes the insights that He has given me, my thoughts and my reflections into a clear outline for today's sermon. And it is not just only for this sermon, but for many sermons that I've preached here, and I believe for many more sermons in the future. And it is not just as I prepare for sermons, but also as I prepare to meet a friend. Each time I pray before a meeting, God directs me to be sensitive to what He is doing in my friend's life so that I can watch, I can listen, I can discern what He is already at work in my friend's life, and I can hear Him, I can hear my friend as I spend the time with Him. I can then join God in His work, in what He is doing in my friend's life. Now, one of my CG members recently shared a sad, but at the same time encouraging story of her colleague. Now, let's call her colleague Alice. Alice is a young mother with two children. Her husband died suddenly after a jogging session. Many people had gone to the wake to comfort and to encourage Alice. But Alice was surprised to see the ex-wife of her husband's close friend at the wake. Now let's call her Brenda. Now Alice doesn't know Brenda very well. Yet Brenda told Alice at the wake that she had gone to the wake for the sole purpose of comforting and encouraging Alice. Now, knowing Brenda's background will help us understand why. Now, when Brenda was in confinement after giving birth to her third child, her husband decided to pack up and leave her. Brenda was totally devastated. Imagine a mother with two young kids and a newborn, trying to cope with postnatal blues during confinement and having your husband abandon you just when you needed him most. What would her future be like? a young mother with three kids. How would she cope? Yet God helped Brenda through that difficult episode in her life. And because of how Brenda had received God's help, comfort, support during that period, she was on the lookout to minister to others who were in similar situations. Brenda was on the lookout for God's activity in the lives of others. God was at work in the life of Alice, comforting her and bringing people to encourage her in her moment of grief. Brenda joined God in his work to empathize, to comfort, and to encourage Alice. Brothers and sisters in Christ, will you too be on the lookout? Ask God to show you the signs of his work in the lives of your friends, of those around you, that you may join him as you reach out to others. Now let's turn our attention to another repeated word, the word meet. The word tell. Now as this is a narrative, we will ignore the places where Matthew uses said or tell just to indicate that a character is speaking. For example, the angel said, the Lord said. Now that leaves us with four instances of say or tell. They can be found in verses 6, twice in verse 7, and once in verse 10. Now two of them are instructions to the women to tell the disciples about Jesus' resurrection, that they will see him in Galilee. The other two have a common emphasis, that instructions to the women are based on what they have seen and heard from Jesus or the angel. You can find this in verse 6 and 7. Now, in other words, the women were commissioned to go and tell what they have seen and heard. Their going and telling is both a response to and a participation in God's actions. What do I mean? Now, let's suppose that the women didn't go and tell the disciples. Hypothetical? Now, does it mean that the disciples won't get to hear the good news of Jesus' resurrection? Does it mean that they will never get to meet Jesus in Galilee? Of course not. God could have easily sent someone else to do it. It could be an angel. It could be another disciple. Or Jesus himself could have appeared to the disciples directly and told them everything. God didn't really need the women to do it. But God gave them the opportunity to go and tell, the privilege to be part of his work, a chance for them to respond and participate in the work of God. Now, Christian author Gordon Smith has provided two examples to clarify this concept. The concept that our human actions, in this case, to go and to tell, are but responses to and participation in the actions of God. That our human actions, in this case, to go and to tell, are responses to and participation in the actions of God. The two examples he gives actually are quite common. One, a doctor's role in healing, and two, a farmer's role in growing crops. Gordon Smith says this: a doctor knows that she is not a healer. She merely participates in and fosters the healing process that's part of God's work in creation. Doctors don't heal. but they are active participants in the healing process as they treat their patients. Similarly, farmers know that they don't grow anything. They don't grow corn or vegetables or wheat. But what do farmers do? They plant, they water, they weed, and they prune their fruit trees. Although their effort and participation is important, the fruit at the end of the apple tree is hardly their work. Despite all their effort, this fruit, this apple, or in the case of the doctor, the healing is God's work. God is the one who heals. God is the one who causes the growth. All this, the fruit, the healing, are God's gifts to us. In the same way, to go and to tell is a privilege and a gift that God gives to each one of us here. A privilege to respond to Him, to participate in His work, in the salvation, in His work of salvation in the lives of many around us. If we choose not to go and tell, of course we have the choice, we miss out on this privilege and this joy of joining God in His work. The women went and told what they had seen and heard from the angel, from Jesus. Similarly, we proclaim the gospel by sharing what we have seen and heard from God. Now, proclaiming the gospel isn't just about sharing the four spiritual laws, the bridge to life, or the wordless book. Don't get me wrong, these tools are helpful for us to proclaim the gospel, but we must remember that they are only tools. What God requires of us, the privilege He has given to us, is to be His witnesses, to share with others what we have seen and heard from Him, to proclaim what He has revealed to us in our quiet time, in our prayers, in our Bible study, and even in worship this morning, to share with our friends what God is doing in our lives, that God has helped us to meet a project deadline, that He has given us good results in an exam, or He has helped us persevere in suffering, to cope with failure, or His comfort as we grieve over the death of a loved one. God calls each one of us to come and see, to go and tell, to be on the lookout, to ask Him to show us what He is doing in the lives of others, that we can respond to Him, that we can participate in God's action of reaching out to others as we proclaim the good news of the gospel to them. In closing, I would like to share the story of my student that brings everything that I have said this morning and wraps it up nicely. Let's call my student Jim. Now, Jim was happy and excited that after much prayer and persuasion, his father-in-law had finally decided and agreed to attend the Alpha course organized by his church. Now, the Alpha course is a series of interactive sessions that allow pre-believers to explore the basics of the Christian faith. Now, towards the last few sessions of the course, disaster struck. Jim's brother-in-law, a young man in his mid-30s, suffered a stroke and was hospitalized. Jim wondered, how could my father-in-law respond now that his son has suffered a stroke? Will he question God? God, why do you allow this to happen to my son? Why do you let my son suffer a stroke at such a young age? Will it derail all our efforts so far to help him come to faith in Christ? To Jim's surprise, things didn't quite turn out the way he expected. God certainly had other ideas and plans in mind. In the midst of his crisis, his father-in-law turned to God in prayer. His brother-in-law made a rapid recovery, was discharged, and soon was back on his feet. And because of the miraculous improvement in answer to his prayers, Jim's father-in-law put his faith in Christ, and he was baptized in Christmas last year. Now, God was already at work in the life of Jim's father-in-law. By inviting his father-in-law to the Alpha course and through prayer, Jim responded to God's actions. He participated in God's work of outreach and salvation in his father-in-law's life. And in the crisis of his brother-in-law's stroke, Jim's father-in-law had a personal encounter with God in prayer. It was God who brought Jim's father-in-law to faith in Jesus. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God is already at work in the lives of those around us, our friends, family members, and colleagues. Our role is to be on the lookout, to pray, to come and see. Less expressing, more listening. Less doing, more being. Less making, more watching. So that we can be sensitive to what God is doing. That we may respond to and participate in God's work of reaching out to others. Let us proclaim the gospel by being God's witnesses to go and to tell. It is a privilege that has been given to all of us. Let us share what we have heard and seen from God in our lives, that we may join him in being lambs for Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who takes the initiative, that you are already at work in the lives of our friends, our loved ones, and our colleagues, and even strangers that we do not know. Thank you for calling us and giving us the privilege to respond to and participate in your work of salvation, that we may share your good news, the good news of your Son Jesus, with them. Help us to be lambs for Christ, to be on the lookout for signs of your work as we pray for those around us. In the midst of our hectic and busy lives, help us to watch, to listen, and to pray, that we may be sensitive to you and your work as we reach out to others. Empower us to be your witnesses, that we may boldly share what we have seen, what we have heard from you, as we encounter you in your word, in prayer, and in worship. That it may inspire us to share the good news of Christ, that many will come to faith in Jesus in their own personal encounters with you. In the name of your Son Jesus, we pray. Amen.